Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It is a football Friday. It is a football weekend as week number one of the National Football League preseason, fully underway for all 32 NFL clubs, has now officially kicked off. A doubleheader of games on a Thursday that we preview for you yesterday on the show. We recap, we have our reactions, the names and the numbers that you need to know from the opening night doubleheader of week number one of this preseason. Ahead of three games on this Friday, nine on Saturday, and two to conclude on Sunday as well. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That will be our charge over this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep, and we got two games and four teams, and I don't know if I could really pinpoint, maybe Joe Milton, that we could really pinpoint. If you're a Carolina Panther fan, you're saying, oh my goodness. If you're a Patriot fan, maybe a Lion fan because they didn't play anybody, but it didn't look good. You got an injury last night from a quarterback in Drew Lock. So anyone like myself that says these quarterbacks should play, well, there you go. First example of why they should not play, but we got preseason football. And we got three more games tonight. Two favorites and really two things that were supposed to happen. Like, to me, I love the Giants. We talked about that yesterday. Lions sold the world. They weren't playing anybody. So I did like the Giants. So that came through. And then, the line jumped up a little bit with the Panthers announcing that Bryce Young wasn't going to play. So the Patriots get the cover. So hopefully a lot of people made some money last night in the first two preseason games outside of obviously the Hall of Fame game.
A triple header on this Friday. And Scott, there are some edges to be had. And I think we can make some points about last night and how it carries over to this Friday slate of three NFL preseason games in week number one. And of course, the nine that we have on Saturday starting at noon Eastern time and running into the wee hours of a Saturday evening with a late start out in the desert in Arizona. The Cardinals and the Saints will kick off at 8 p.m. Eastern. So a Saturday full of NFL preseason football coming your way. Let's look back first, and let's start in New England. It was the larger of the two spreads last night, 6.5 points in favor of the Patriots as they hosted the Panthers. Dave Canales, rookie head coach for Carolina. Gerard Mayo, rookie head man in New England. Canales said Bryce Young is not playing. We got the idea, though, from Gerard Mayo under the Bill Belichick tree that he would probably at least get the starters out there for a little bit. We saw all four quarterbacks last night for New England. Jacoby Brissett, opening series of the game. Drake May, second offensive possession for New England. A ton of action out of Bailey Zappe and a lot to like out of Joe Milton III. Of course, the sixth round draft pick in 2024 out of Tennessee. We will make sure that we are a little bit cautious in our evaluation of Joe Milton. But overall, Scott, a big victory for the Pats. They were laying near a touchdown, 6.5 points. They won by two touchdowns, 17-3. A pregame total that's made its way up to 35 and a hook does stay well under, but the Patriots start off the Gerard Mayo era with a double-digit win.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to go too crazy with this, Ben, with the criticism, but I don't get what the Patriots did last night. At least with Carolina, even though I don't agree with not playing Bryce Young, I understand, okay, that they decided not to play him. But with New England, you had four quarterbacks play in the first quarter and a half. It was comical. The quarterbacks are coming in. What are you doing, right? I mean, you don't want to play Drake May for some goofy reason. He played one series. And you didn't play Joe Milton that much, a little bit, and you didn't play Jacoby Brissett very much at all, but you played Bailey Zappe, you know, for basically two and a half quarters. We know what we got in Bailey Zappe. Well, you know, you're not gaining anything if you're a Patriot by playing Bailey Zappe. I mean, if you don't want to play May for some goofy reason, then let's see Jacoby Brissett, who figures to be the starting quarterback. Get him in there. I just, you know, they won the game. They cover for a betting standpoint. It's a beautiful thing, but from a Patriot standpoint, I don't get what they got last night out of playing Bailey Zappe a good half plus. I mean, like I said, you know what you have with him. Is he realistically challenging Brissett for the starting job? I don't think so. Is he realistically challenging even Drake May for the backup job? I mean, maybe, but I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, I didn't really either, Scott. It was a good thing from a handicapping perspective, because when you look at the quarterback rooms last night, the reason that the Panthers were nearly a touchdown underdog, not just Bryce Young not playing, but also Andy Dalton, the veteran backup with a ton of game experience in the National Football League, has been banged up throughout the early portion of training camp, hardly even practicing at this moment. So, of course, did not get any run last night. It was Jack Plummer, the rookie out of Louisville, Jake Luton, who has probably played in a couple of preseason games, but outside of that, not much action in the National Football League. So the four quarterbacks and all four quarterbacks on the roster, including the presumed starter week number one in Jacoby Brissett, who as head coach Gerard Mayo has said has the most pro-ready experience, was out there for a possession. Drake May, a possession. And I kind of forgot, Scott, in all the conversation about Brissett versus May, and also, hey, Joe Milton has thrown some flashes at training camp, that Bailey's happy was still on the roster for New England. He threw the ball 20 times last night, completing 12 of them for 108 yards. Really played for a good majority of the late first quarter into the early third quarter, through the halftime before Joe Milton took over. From a handicapping perspective, of course New England had more game reps and experience in that quarterback room. They won the preseason game by 14, perhaps the only time this year the Patriots could be favored in a game. Certainly the only time they're going to be laying near a touchdown would be my estimation. They cover the number. Again, the total was on the rise to 35 and a hook. It stays well under. But in terms of learning what you have out of Bailey Zappe, not much of a point of that. I, in fact, think you're trying to see the promise and the projection that you have out of Drake May and Joe Milton to decide who you are going to roster in the quarterback room this year. And Joe Milton's got to provide some flashes, as we said he would, in games that don't have a ton of significance. 4 for 6, 54 yards, a touchdown, also showing off his legs, 5 carries for 22 yards, and a splendid 13-yard rush for a first down where he breaks out of the pocket to the right, pretty much spins and reverses field all the way back around to find some green grass. There are so many things to like about what Joe Milton possesses athletically and in terms of arm power. A lot of college football fans will tell you to temper your optimism, but enjoy the ride for as long as the Joe Milton experience continues.
Yeah, you know, it's like the negative out of the positive, right? And that run, you know, he ran about 65 yards to gain 13, right? It was a spectacular run. But there's already been a little buzz, right, already about how Milton has looked better in practice than Drake May. Mm-hmm. Now Milton comes in and plays really well, leads him on a touchdown drive. And now, you know, the negative of Joe Milton doing as well as he did last night is that, okay, that buzz of Milton better than May is going to pick up steam now. And, right, and I know the Patriots ultimately want the best quarterback out there, but ideally, you know, when you draft a quarterback as high as they did with Drake May, you really want him to win the job, right? So it puts even that much more pressure on May to kind of step up. So I guess it's a good problem to have, but it is still a little bit of a problem, right? All right, you know, Ben, I mean, what do you do if Milton continues to shine? You know, it's not only who's going to start, you know, but it's who's going to dress as the second quarterback and who's going to, you know, get more reps in practice as the second quarterback. So an issue to you know, it's a good problem, but it is still a problem in my eyes with the Patriots. But a nice showing by Milton for one game.
No doubt about it, Scott, especially for the narrative of this New England team that has the lowest win total in the National Football League of 4.5. Everything is an evaluation piece for the future of this franchise, probably beyond 2024 moving forward. Drake May, in the only offensive possession he had, 2 for 3 for 19 yards. Not a ton to go off of there. I'm sure we will see him more throughout the preseason. Again, the Pats start off the Gerard Mayo era with a victory. Carolina did not really have much last night. The Panthers now winless in their last four preseason games dating back to the start of 2023. Total of 35 and a hook stays under. And Scott, it wasn't the prettiest brand of football. At least we saw some points in the fourth quarter as opposed to the New York Giants and Detroit Lions game that we'll talk about on the other side of the break here on FFC. But when you look at these two teams again, New England, the second longest price to win a Super Bowl at 250-1. The Panthers, the longest price to win Super Bowl 59 at 300-1 after a 2-15 season, the worst regular season record in the National Football League just a year ago, despite the Patriots having a lower win total than that of Carolina. We'll go to MetLife next. The Giants and the Lions. Did the bad blood from joint practice spill over? Find out here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
A doubleheader of NFL action to kick off week number one of the NFL preseason. Last night on a Thursday with a triple header. That's three games ahead on this Friday evening. Scott, the Patriots victorious 17-3 over the Panthers. New England covering as a 6.5-point favorite inside Gillette Stadium. A total of 35.5 stays well under. Not a ton of offense in New England. Not a ton of offense at MetLife in East Rutherford, New Jersey as well. The Giants hold off the Lions 14-3, all 17 combined points between the two clubs scored in the opening half. The Giants get a victory 14-3 against Detroit. They cover as a 4.5-point favorite. It was the first time now in 7 career preseason games for Brian Daboll as the head coach of the Giants. He covered a number entering this preseason 0-6 against the spread. He picks up a victory and a cover last night. But Scott, with some good for the New York Giants in a game that did not feature any starters on either side, some bad. Drew Lock, 4 of 10, 17 yards, and an INT, but an injury in the game, which is not what you want to see out of Drew Lock, who many think, Scott, that if things go south this year for Daniel Jones and the Giants are looking toward the future, Drew Lock might factor into the rotation a decent amount at the quarterback position.
Yeah, but not what it showed last night. Even the injury, Ben, if you saw it, people, he was barely touched. He's going back to pass. He's rolling out a little bit to his right, and he just kind of tweaked a little something, in his back. Precautionary measures. They kept him out. They said he would go back in if it was a real football game, but who knows? If he can't drop back to pass, for goodness sakes. But even before the injury, as you mentioned, the numbers are not good. 17 yards, 4 of 10, with an INT. So that was not a good look, and then even more praise for Tommy DeVito, who finished up the game, played 3.5 quarters or so, throwing for 92 yards, which wasn't great either, mind you, but it was raining. Both games there was playing, even more so in the Giant game, but both three games were played in rain and a steady, really, rainfall in the Detroit-New York game over at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. But if you came out of that game as a Giant fan thinking, okay, your quarterback of the future is there, if it's not going to be Danny Nichols, as I like to say, 12 of 25 for a combined 95 yards with one interception. And that's, and when you get praise, nothing against Tommy DeVito, but when you get praise for doing as little as he did last night, then you really know the bar for success as a Giant quarterback is not very high.
Yeah, not at all. But, Scott, it is what Tommy DeVito has done, right? Multiple starts last year, kind of became a local hero for a week, the New Jersey native for the New York Giants. DeVito mania sweeping the NFL for at least a week. He looks pretty good when given the opportunity, and he had the opportunity last night. Again, 8 of 15 for 92 yards. No touchdowns, but no INTs. Drew Lock seemed to have hurt his hip after the game, saying had he needed to play in the game, had he been asked to return, he could have done so. At least a bright spot for the New York Giants. Eric Gray, fifth round draft pick in 2023 out of Oklahoma, four carries for 52 yards, four grabs for 46 yards as well, 98 scrimmage yards for Gray. Of course, they are looking to replace the production of a back that could do it all in Saquon Barkley. Not saying Eric Gray is the heir apparent to Saquon Barkley, but a very productive preseason opener for New York. Again, no points scored at all on either of the two sides in the second half. The Giants cover is a 4.5-point favorite. And again, Scott, that total that closed at 35.5 does stay under. Some good news last night, though, for Detroit and Hendon Hooker, who had a great 2022 college football season at Tennessee, was injured in their second-to-last regular season game. Torn ACL, he's an older guy. It affected his draft stock into 2023's NFL draft. Didn't really play last year at all for Detroit. Back on the football field yesterday, 5 of 9 through the air, 36 yards, 4 carries for 34 yards as well. Hendon Hooker looking the part of what he did in Knoxville, now back for the Lions, should factor into that backup quarterback race with Nate Sudfeld, who got the start for Detroit.
First with Gray for me, real quickly, that touchdown run, if you didn't see it, go get the highlight of that. He put a move on a couple of Detroit defenders and then ran down the field for 48 yards. He showed speed, he showed he had moves, and he showed he could catch the football. You know, they didn't realize this before the Saquon Barkley fiasco, but they may have found a guy that could, if not duplicate what Saquon did, at least compensate a little bit for his loss. As for Hooker, I did see a report, Ben, where he suffered a concussion in the game. I didn't see that in the game, but maybe they realized that afterwards, but that popped up on my screen somewhere this morning. Not good when your quarterback is your leading rusher, but we've seen teams, like Baltimore Ravens have that kind of success. That was the case with Hendon Hooker last night with his 34 yards, but they really didn't show much. It's each game is different. I get that, but if the preseason thinking of Carolina continues as it did from last night, and the preseason thinking for Detroit continues as it did for last night, boy, those are bet against teams. They didn't play anybody. Their leading rusher, like I said, was 34 yards for their quarterback. Otherwise, the third leading rusher was their backup, or Nate Sudfeld, their other quarterback. They did not do a darn thing last night.
Yeah.
Again, maybe the weather played a factor in that, but they showed no interest in being in that football game.
Yeah, it is really interesting, Scott, because, again, you look at what Dan Campbell embodies, right? That fiery competitive spirit. Now this is his fourth preseason as the head coach entering year four for Detroit. They're just 3-7 straight up in preseason games. Not saying that mentality of competition doesn't carry over, but they haven't been great under the fighting Dan Campbells, as you might expect. So the Giants get a cover, the first cover for Brian Daboll. I also think, Scott, at least based on the sample size of last night, in both games, the quarterback room with more meaningful NFL experience got the victory. The Patriots played all four of their guys. If it was a wise choice in terms of evaluation, that remains to be seen. But all four quarterbacks in their entire room getting some run last night, including Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe, who played a plethora of the game and has a ton of QB experience in the National Football League. The Patriots win by 2 touchdowns. The Giants win by double digits. Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito, more meaningful NFL reps than that of Nate Sudfeld and Hendon Hooker, at least in his young career. Something maybe to keep in mind as we forecast this triple header on Friday.
Yeah, and the other thing real quickly is, if you think there's a debate with the quarterback situation in New England, what we saw last night tells me there wasn't. Because if Jacoby Brissett was really trying to battle for the starting job and not just be giving it to him, I think he would have played a lot more. He no doubt will be your starting quarterback for the Pats.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I guess there is optimism for New England that Drake May came in second. Still a lot to see here in this preseason. We'll talk about this Friday of NFL preseason action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it's FFC on a Football Friday that features three NFL preseason games on this Friday night. That's a triple header of preseason action. Scott, two games kicking off at about 7 p.m. Eastern time in Pittsburgh. It's the Steelers hosting the Texans in South Florida. The Dolphins will take on the Falcons. And then one game about half an hour after the first two in Baltimore, the Ravens play host to the Eagles. We'll go in chronological order. We'll start in the Steel City between the Steelers and the Texans. Here's what we know in terms of availability. Russell Wilson, not going to play tonight for Pittsburgh, but remains the starting quarterback on the depth chart. Justin Fields will get the start in preseason game number one. The Steelers, a 2.5-point dog to Houston. Because the Texans are expected to play their starters, who did not play in the Hall of Fame game now just over a week ago in Canton, Ohio. That means C.J. Stroud. That means potentially Stephon Diggs making his debut in a Texans uniform. And I think, Scott, for that reason, Houston sees itself as a road favorite.
Yeah, I tell you, this is my favorite one tonight, Ben. I do like the over in this game, 37.5. You know, let's just assume that the starters don't play, or if they do, they play maybe one series, right? Your backup quarterbacks in this game for Pittsburgh, Justin Fields, Kyle Allen, pretty good. Backup quarterbacks for Houston, Davis Mills, Case Keenum. Not bad. So 37.5, it's, you know, that's a little pricey for a preseason game if you look at the other games, you know, but more towards the higher side. But those are four pretty good quarterbacks. And, you know, we always look for the quarterback battle of who's going to win the starting job, right? Well, there's just as much of a quarterback battle for who's going to be the backup. Remember, the NFL teams, they dress two quarterbacks. So that second position, you know, for these guys anyway, is just as important as there would be a battle for the starting job. So who's going to be the backup? You know, is it going to be Justin Fields or Kyle Allen? You figure it'd be Justin Fields, but Kyle Allen's got something to show. Davis Mills, Case Keenum, you know, those two certainly have something to show. So that means to me, you know, the starters for the other positions might play a couple of more series than they normally would if there wasn't a quarterback battle, even for second place. So over 37.5, I'd be surprised. I know Pittsburgh can, you know, really sludge it out a little bit, but good defense. Yeah. But I'd be surprised if we didn't get 38 points in this game.
Yeah, Scott, I completely agree, and I love the sentiment there. I think when you look through the roster, that's really how you can decide if the teams will have some offensive flow, if you have that experience, and if you will see the points rack up. Maybe we saw the Hall of Fame game feature 38 points in about 2.5 quarters and then looked to the games last night and thought 33.5 and 34.5 for totals. So let's raise those up a little bit, only for both to fall completely under. And now maybe the public betting mind is saying, ooh, it's preseason, it's ugly, it's early, it's week number one, not a ton of offense expected. I actually think in a lot of these spots tonight, we could see a lot of offense. I think it's interesting, Scott, to see C.J. Stroud out there because the Texans, of course, are trying to rise to the occasion in match expectation. They so overwhelmed expectation last year that was minimal. Preseason win total of 6.5. Rookie quarterback, rookie head coach in D'Amico Ryans. The Jaguars fumble down the stretch. Houston comes out of nowhere to win a divisional championship, and they win a playoff game as well. So there is so much sky-high expectation for the Texans following the success on the field and a successful offseason as well. The additions of Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, and bolstering the D-line on the other side of the football. Scott, we've talked about the ceiling of this Houston team for quite some time. Will they match expectation, be a winning football team, get to double-digit wins, and win a second consecutive divisional crown? I'd say that's a pretty fair bet. But how high is that ceiling? Can the Texans actually contend with the likes of the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, maybe the Bills for an AFC championship? I think that's the next step this year.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, Ben. I mentioned this before. Teams like Houston that have kind of come out of nowhere, you know, the one season generally tend to regress the next year because they go from a last place schedule to a first place schedule and no longer sneaking up on anybody. And they're the target versus being the, you know, going to Hunter versus the Huntie and all that other good mumbo jumbo, right, that we like to say. But man, they made so many moves, so many positive moves this offseason. You know, it's just like hard to poke holes in them. it. It really is. I mean, I don't think, to me, it's going to be a feast or famine situation. I don't see them finishing right around 500. It's either they're going to take that next step, and CJ Stroud's going to play just as well, if not better, or they're really, really going to regress. I'm leaning towards really, I want to say regress, but man, I'm really leaning towards, I think they're going to be a really solid football team and one that will challenge for the championship.
I would agree, Scott. I think they're at least a double-digit win team and will be right in the race for the AFC South. Beyond that, we shall see. More preseason handicaps for a Football Friday next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, one final point on the Houston Texans. It's a trend that you really enlightened me with a couple of off seasons ago now that I believe is in year 21 or year 22 of being a very strong trend around the National Football League. As we talk about Houston matching expectation this year, now favored to win the AFC South for a second consecutive year. A team that finishes in last the previous NFL season, winning the division the upcoming year. I think it's 19 of the last 21, 20 of the last 22 years we have seen that in at least one of the eight divisions around the National Football League. And I know this, Scott, at least the last 2 years, that trend has continued in the AFC South. The Jaguars in 2022 winning the division after finishing dead last in 2021. The Texans finished last in 2022. Of course, a divisional title in the AFC South in 2023.
Yeah, 19 the last 21 years. That really is remarkable, you know. Now, listen, there's only four teams in a division. It's not like you got, you know, 20 teams and you're going from 20th to first. But still, that does show, you know, the NFL fan, you know, how things can quickly turn around just like that. You know, they got the perfect system. That's what you want to sell in the NFL. Hope, no matter what your situation is, you figure out, you know, Cincinnati to me would be the logical one this year after, you know, having Joey B get hurt last year, that they would be the one that would win. But still, even winning the division is not an easy thing to do. You could rebound and not be a last place team, but to actually go from first to, or from last to first, even in four teams, is an accomplishment. And we've seen those teams the next year tend to bounce back a little bit just because of what we said before, right? Expectations are different. You're no longer the hunter, you're the huntee. You go from a last place schedule to a first place schedule, which, you know, is a big difference. You get a couple of games against, Kansas City and Philadelphia versus having a couple of games against Carolina in New England. I mean, that can make all the difference in the world. So give credit to what Houston did. Let's see if they can duplicate that. Yeah. I think they can. I really do. I like all their offseason moves.
Yeah, me as well. And I highlight the AFC South just to say that because Houston is the preseason favorite, with how much change and parity we have seen in this division the last few years in the NFL, that's why maybe you would poke some holes. But I agree with you, Scott. I think the Texans are deserving of having the win total of 9.5 and the over with the juice at -150, and very deserving of being those divisional front runners. An 8-1 price on the Texans to win the AFC at this moment. We'll see if they can contend with the likes of the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Bills. It's the fifth best price for Houston, 50 cents behind Buffalo and Cincy, 50 cents in front of the New York Jets. All right, two more games on this Football Friday of preseason action. Scott, we go to Miami up next. The Dolphins will host the Falcons. Atlanta, a road favorite, laying 2.5 points. The over-under stands at 38.5. The expectation is not that we see Kirk Cousins tonight, but rather a ton of the eighth overall draft pick in 2024, Michael Penix Jr. More than likely not seeing Tua Tagovailoa out there for the Finns either, so it's a competition for his backup spot in this Dolphins quarterback room. Mike White, a familiar name in Skylar Thompson, who has had some NFL reps as well. Falcons, a 2.5-point favorite in South Florida, total at 38.5. Scott, what do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the over again on this one. I don't, if you're going to go over if you're going to go over, that means you think Atlanta's going to score, so you might take the Falcons. But I could see the Dolphins, in a higher scoring game covering the spread or at least winning. I am still a little surprised Miami's a 2.5-point home underdog. Not that you get a monster crowd for a preseason game, but that's the boys in Vegas, right? With Atlanta folks saying that, Raheem Morris saying that it's going to be Michael Penix not only starting, but playing a lot in Raheem Morris's words. So you got to figure it's going to be at least a half, if not three quarters. Boys in Vegas clearly like him, but with that combination of Penix and Taylor Heinicke behind him and then White and Skylar Thompson, who's been around for a couple of years now, I think we're going to get some points in this football game, as long as the weather, check the weather, down in Florida, who knows, but otherwise I would say over, and then maybe a lean towards Miami with the 2.5.
Scott, it's really interesting, too, because in a regular season game, if these two teams were to play, the total would probably approach 50. We expect these to be two of the higher-powered scoring offenses in all of the National Football League this year. Of course, there was some bad news for the Falcons during joint practice in Miami this week against the Dolphins. Rondale Moore, one of those pieces acquired this offseason to really add to that explosion on the offensive side under Kirk Cousins. He is out for the year. We told you on Wednesday during the show, he was taken off the practice field. The practice was called in that moment with an air cast. And there's been some issues with the Dolphins in terms of their wide receiver health, Jalen Waddle, and of course, Braxton Berrios. Mike McDaniel has said, hey, they're not overly banged up. They're not major injuries, just some minor dings to start training camp. But we don't expect to see all of those guys. But Scott, whether it's Michael Penix Jr., who we'll talk about in just a moment, battling with Taylor Heinicke, or on the other side, especially Skylar Thompson versus Mike White for that backup job behind Tua Tagovailoa this year in Miami, it's one of my favorite handicapping spots for the NFL in the preseason. Whether it's a race to be the starting quarterback or the backup quarterback, if there is a QB competition, you would think they are trying to audition of sorts and put their best stuff on tape. It can lead to a competitive football team. It can lead to good scoring drives and thus affecting the total. It's one of the favorite spots, Scott, that I look at any NFL preseason game, starting quarterback or otherwise.
Yeah, and it's also with the injury to White, right? That really is like, wow, we talked about it yesterday. We knew when they stopped practice, this has got to be pretty serious, right? So you wonder, it's a glass half filled or half empty, Ben. When you have an injury like that in practice, does the head coach say, I'm going to go real conservative when we play this football game 2 days later because I don't want any more injuries. I just, had one of my best wide receivers go down for the season. Or does that reinforce the fact that, what's the difference? You get hurt just as much in practice as you can the game. So, guys, we're all going to play because it's a rough and tough sport, and you can get injured just as easily, like I said, in practice as you can, in the game itself. So that'd be kind of interesting. But it will be curious to see with these battles, that generally leads to the starters, the offensive linemen, the wide receivers just playing a little bit more to give each one of the, the two backups, or in this case, four backups with Miami and Atlanta, ample opportunity to shine with working with starters. So that, to me, leads to points, I would think. That's why I like the over 38.5.
Scott, we talked about Michael Penix Jr. when Raheem Morris, the new head coach in Atlanta, who was once an interim head coach in Atlanta, announced that Michael Penix Jr. would start and play a lot in this preseason game. Naturally, it makes sense. If you draft a guy in the top 10, you want to see what you have with him. But if you're not expecting him to play a ton in the regular season, unless things go haywire and Kirk Cousins gets injured, then the real opportunity is here in preseason football. So I get it. In the return on your investment in that perspective, you want to make sure that, hey, if the guy goes out there and performs, see, we told you, we used the top 10 pick. It was very valuable, but we've got the face of the franchise for many, many more years to come in Atlanta. I still think it was a disastrously poor first round pick. But Scott, I kind of take the glass half empty approach, or at least a little bit more of a cynical nature to this. If Michael Penix Jr. goes out there and performs well, it's also not just, hey, we have the face of the franchise, but maybe not in the future. Should this guy be contending with Kirk Cousins for that starting role? And if he's playing so well and we drafted him, why do we pay Kirk Cousins $180 million? Or on the opposite end of that equation, if Michael Penix Jr. goes out there tonight and disappoints and performs poorly and is out there for a while, does it just leave Atlanta fans saying, what in the heck did we draft this guy eighth overall when we could have used that valuable draft pick on something that would have helped our team?
Yeah, you really can't win for losing. You know, at least with the New England Patriots with Joe Milton playing and doing well, at least you could say, well, okay, you know, if he really is that good, then we're going to put him in there. He'll outduel Drake May. No big deal. You know, we had that with Kirk Cousins. But in this case in Atlanta, you're right. I mean, the whole thing didn't make any sense. And it's still, you know, right, 2 or 3 months later, it still didn't make any sense drafting Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, it really didn't. And again, there were so many logistics outside of just a preseason decision for Michael Penix Jr. and how his rookie contract will look and what that means for the 4-year deal of Kirk Cousins. Still a baffling move to this day. More on Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Scott, now we move on to the third and final game of this Football Friday triple header of NFL preseason action. In Baltimore, it's the Ravens and the Eagles. We might not see a ton of starters tonight, although Nick Sirianni's been a little tight-lipped about the exact plan is for Philadelphia's starting offense, including quarterback Jalen Hurts. Meanwhile, for Baltimore, we will not see Lamar Jackson tonight, but we know the mentality in the Charm City. It's win at all costs. That includes preseason games, but a change to the quarterback room that has been so beneficial to the Ravens stacking up preseason wins the last few seasons. It's a 2.5-point spread now, Scott, in favor of the Eagles on the road in Baltimore. Earlier this week, Baltimore was the slight home favorite because of the preseason pedigree that John Harbaugh has possessed for this Ravens team in over a decade and a half. Now the Eagles approaching a field goal favored number. What do you make of the line flip for a preseason game?
Yeah, and it is amazing, you know, and I'm going to buck a major trend, and I don't do that too often, but I am going to do it. I like Philadelphia, you know. I don't know what Sirianni's got up his sleeve, when you look at the backups for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, there's no Huntley. He's gone. You got right. Josh Johnson, okay, you know, he's okay, I suppose. Then you got two rookies, Devin Leary, the kid out of Kentucky, and then the undrafted Emory Jones out of Cincinnati. That's not, you know, unless these guys are going to come in and really shock us, that's not a whole heck of a lot, you know, versus Kenny Pickett, yeah, who's the backup for Philadelphia, and then you got Tanner McGee, and then the kid from Stanford, and then Will Greer, who has played a little bit here in the NFL, but at least you got a couple of veterans there. So Harbaugh's great, 44-14 straight up, but and including 40-18 against the spread, but mostly these preseason games are like pick 'em or so you generally to win. It's rare when you win you don't cover. But they were 0-3 last year against the spread. They were 1-2 straight up. They played Philadelphia. They were in a position to cover, if you remember, late in the game. But then they threw a pick six, so they ended up winning by 1-7. But they were 0-3 against the spread last year, and they did actually lose twice. So maybe that mystique and that whatever you want to call it with Harbaugh preseason is he's just, you know, coming back to the pack a little bit. Sirianni's not great. 1-6-2. Actually played two ties in the preseason on his resume. But, you know, with all the turmoil going on in Philadelphia, and he had let's rally the troops speech the other day, maybe he's going to take this game a little bit more seriously than we think. Line has jumped up to now 2, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Philadelphia. I'm going to lay the 2.
And Scott, part of that movement has happened in the last hour because reports out of Philly saying that Nick Sirianni plans on playing his starters. That includes Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, for at least a series tonight. He was asked at practice about it the last couple of days throughout this week. Declined really to give a firm answer on what his plans were for his starting lineup for this National Football League preseason game. Now we know we will see the Philly starters at least for a possession out out there. And then behind that, you've got Kenny Pickett. You've got Tanner McKee, who played a ton in last year's preseason. And Will Greer has played in a ton of preseason games as well. Again, if we're following the trend of better and balanced quarterback room on one side, Philly should be favored. Philly should win this football game, only minus 130 in terms of that money line price outright as well. But we're battling our brains in a way to look at Baltimore and predict them to lose a preseason game. That victory last year to start off the preseason was the 24th consecutive win in a preseason game for John Harbaugh and the Ravens, at that point dating back to 2016. But of course, that win streak came to a close last preseason, just a 1-2 record, and as Scott said, 0-3 against the number last year. So has some of that preseason pedigree worn off just a little bit? I guess that will be seen tonight. But part of it, Scott, is not just the long historic win streak in preseason games for Baltimore. It's one of the reasons that was even feasible, because Tyler Huntley was the backup for Lamar Jackson, not only with his own NFL experience, having to fill in for the injured Lamar a few times in the last few seasons, but also because he played the quarterback position in the Ravens offense, first under Greg Roman, and then even learning it last year under Todd Monken in a very similar way. He's no longer there. In fact, he's with an AFC North rival now in the quarterback room in Cleveland. Josh Johnson has a ton of experience. He has been around most of the National Football League, but not exactly the guy that Snoop Huntley was in terms of the reserve quarterback role. And beyond that, two rookies trying to earn a roster spot and prove themselves in Devin Leary and Emory Jones. I actually think Philadelphia, as crazy as it is, should be the favored side tonight, and it's a pretty good look. And Scott, also not just line movement in terms of the spread working in the way of the Eagles, but also the total on the rise from 34.5 this morning, up by 2 full points to 36.5.
Yeah, and that's surprising, right? If we had two high-scoring games last night, I could see some of these lines bumping up a little bit with their over-unders, because that would make like three if you want to count the Hall of Fame game. But obviously, we did not get that last night. So for a line to go higher today after what we saw yesterday, you know, somebody knows something about that. Even the Houston-Pittsburgh line is now up to 38.5. And that was, I looked at it when we were talking about it a half hour ago. That was 37.5, and now it's 38.5 on FanDuel. So people think that we're going to get some scoring in these football games. You know, hopefully we do. But I do like Philadelphia. You know, you look at that backup situation, Josh Johnson. I mean, we may not even get him that much. We may get him maybe a quarter and let Devin Leary and Emory Jones, you know, play the remaining of the game. It's weird. You know, it's like a baseball game, Ben, where you have the by far better team with the lesser pitcher going up against the by far worse team, but the by far worse team has the better pitcher. So which one do you do? Do you go with the head coach, who clearly, John Harbaugh, wants to win these preseason games at 44-14, even though he's got less ammo? Or do you go with Philadelphia, who's got more ammo, but a head coach who's shown no inclination to winning? You know, one win in 9 preseason games. So I'm going to go with the one win Nick Sirianni, believe it or not. So let's go Philadelphia tonight.
Yeah, Scott, speaking of that changing total, I was on the early line with Donnie and said, hey, if Nick Sirianni's being tight-lipped about the starters, that generally means they might see a little bit of action. Otherwise, he would have just come out and said, hey, we're not going to play them, as many around the NFL have done. So I like the over of 34.5. It's now up to 36.5. We'll continue the conversation, set the stage for the rest of the weekend, up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Scott, it's not just three NFL preseason games on this Friday, or the two that we had in a doubleheader on Thursday. Nine NFL preseason games on Sunday. Starts bright and early in New York, or at least in New Jersey. The Jets will host the Commanders. Washington, a 2.5-point favorite. We will see the NFL debut of the second overall pick in Jaden Daniels. And, of course, following that, 1 p.m. Eastern time in Orchard Park in Western New York, the debut of the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams for the Chicago Bears, despite, of course, it being game two of the preseason for Chicago, having dueled it out with Houston in the Hall of Fame game just over a week ago. The Commanders, a 2.5-point road favorite against the Jets. The Bears, a 2.5-point road underdog in Buffalo.
Yeah, little surprised the Bills aren't a little bit more, only because we've had Sean McDermott come out and say that Josh Allen and the starters are going to play some. So This is a good example. And tell you what, Philadelphia tonight as well might be a good example of betting a halftime line. You know, I'm not, as I told you yesterday, I'm not big on halftime lines, but in these preseason games, you know, if you get a head coach that says that the starters are going to play a little bit, you know, you hope that's at least a couple of series. You might be able to get a touchdown jump on things. You bet them basically the same line. Sometimes you get a little bit of a discount as well. So you bet Buffalo tonight, knowing Allen's going to play at halftime. And same thing with Philadelphia if you think that Jalen Hurts and company is going to play. So I do like the Bills in this game. Give me the 2.5. I wouldn't touch the Jets. You know, no Aaron Rodgers. You're going to get Tyrod Taylor. And I just think that sends a bad message. I understand. A lot of teams do it, so I'm not going to pick on the Jets. But when you tell the team that your starting quarterback's not going to play, I think it sets just a bad message and a bad tone, like we don't really care about this football game. And if that's the case, and I think Washington clearly does, right? This is a good example. New head coach, new quarterback. Let's throw him out there. Let's see what he could do. I like Washington, and that's why they're -2.5 on the road.
Yeah, a lot of belief right now in Jaden Daniels and what he is going to do for Washington this year from his new head coach in Dan Quinn. The Jets did play 4 preseason games, including that Hall of Fame contest last year, 2-2, but Aaron Rodgers actually did play a decent amount last preseason, giving some glimpses of hope to gangrene. Not going to play at all as of right now in the 2024 NFL preseason. Scott, I like some points in Buffalo between the Bills and the Bears. If the weather holds up tomorrow, we're going to see Caleb Williams behind that. Tyson Bagent trying to compete for that second quarterback job. And I think a lot has to be figured out on both sides of the football with a changing roster this year for the Bills. I think we do see some points in that game. Caleb Williams remains the short favorite to win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year at +140. Jaden Daniels and Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver for the Cardinals, tied for that second best price at 7-1. The next game, Scott, on Saturday, we're probably not going to have time to get to all 9 of them, but this one intrigues me as well from a handicapping perspective. 2 quarterback battles, it would seem, for 2 teams. The Raiders and the Vikings in Minneapolis. Las Vegas, 3-point road favorite. Total is up there at 40.5. I think one of the reasons, Scott, is because of the quarterback battle between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell for that starting job. And of course, for the Vikings, Sam Darnold will get the start on Saturday in NFL preseason action before the Vikes give way to J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and Minnesota head coach Kevin O'Connell, 0-6, Ben, straight up, 1-5 against the spread in the preseason. So, by the way, McDermott for Buffalo, 14-7 straight up in preseason games. So he shows he wants to win some of these games. Yeah, 0-6, but that to me is why that is +3. He has shown no inclination to want to win these football games. But now this is a little different. You know, those first 2 years, that's when he didn't have a quarterback battle, right? He had Kirk Cousins. There was no, you know, worries about that. Now he actually has one. So you know, sometimes you got to look at these numbers and then realize, okay, there's different situations. I'd go with the Vikings. You want to give me 3 points at home with Minnesota? I'll take that. 40.5, that's the biggest number on the board. As far as the over-under is concerned, a little surprised it's that high, but if that's the case, then that means that, you know, the starters are going to play a little bit and they're going to take this thing a little more seriously. So I'll gladly take Minnesota +3.
Yeah, I would agree with that idea, Scott. One of the high totals on the board right now at 40.5. It's going to be up there. The Chiefs and the Jaguars also a 40 and a hook on Saturday night. As Andy Reid believes in getting his starters some reps in preseason, we should expect to see Mahomes and company for nearly the entirety of the opening quarter. Again, 9 games tomorrow of NFL preseason action. A triple header on this Friday and 2 more on Sunday before we talk to you on Monday. For Scott Wetzel, it's Ben Stevens. A football full circle returns noon Eastern time on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.